Three shrieks at Nordhaus Dunes. I descended down my ancient dune for a lavish bath in Lake Michigan, that from where I was standing was all my own, and I shared it with nobody. Climbing the final bump in the sand, I discovered I was not alone, however. Or rather, I discovered I can shriek, and like a hot flash, it happens automatically. In this case, it was triggered by the biggest freaking snake I have ever encountered. From what I remember, and my memory is rather blurry, its head was the size of my fist. My instinct told me that the coiled body indicated that the snake was getting ready to pounce at me, at which point, still shrieking, I simply took to the air. No doubt, for a split second at least, impressing some of the nearby seagulls, if not downright worrying their leaders that I was about to join them. Let me tell you, an event like this changes you. You never frolic through the bush again. And when you do come across a patch of grass or a grassy plain, you begin to mutter to yourself, there are f***ing snakes in those f***ing plains. It's not a question of fear, but rather of respect. Briefly becoming a shrieking seagull reminded me that I was not in fact alone, and that I was sharing my little wilderness with many a fanged creature, and then some. As to my second shriek, I am no stranger to thunder. In fact, I experienced snow thunder twice. And the first time made me run so fast that I might have broken the sound barrier myself. Just last year, I experienced what sounded like a mini Tunguska event. A single thunder, so loud that the whole suburb not only heard it, but still remembers it to this day. Plus, in one of my first stays at the wilderness, I watched a storm roll over, where I had to sleep between the poles of my tent, laying flat, like a starfish on the ground. This time, however, I was on my way into the wilderness that I was preparing to stay at. I rented a campsite for the night, as it was unfortunately raining, and I wanted to scout everything out ahead of time anyway. And as I was about to pass a large camper and nodded hello to the driver, that's when it happened. We didn't see the lightning. Maybe due to cloud cover, maybe it was just one of those weird thunders. But it went off right above our heads, right above the tree that we were under. The camper jumped, and I shrieked, though this time internally, having mastered shrieking the first time. Though I felt like I became a scaredy cat covered with goosebumps and hair standing up. We stood there for quite a few seconds, frozen, as if waiting for a second strike. And that is when I noticed that the man's nerves were already frayed. Thunder and rain is why he was packing up in the first place.
"We're leaving," he said with great resolve.
Perhaps so that his wife could hear it too and calm her nerves down. I'm sure she had enough of thunder for the day. Though I didn't see anybody in the camper, I could see how she just woke up from her afternoon nap, all kinds of cranky from such a loud thunderstrike. They were a team. She charted the next adventure, and he did all the driving.
I would not be surprised if perhaps their adventures didn't in fact end with autumn, but they simply drove south, where it is warmer, to revisit all their favorite places down there. They certainly didn't drive up to Michigan to enjoy the weather, I could tell that. The thing about Lake Michigan, though, is that the weather changes pretty fast. It was sunny and fresh by morning, I observed, while now setting up the morning fire at my new campsite, miles away from all manners of campers and their jittery disenchantment. The rainy weather did bring flies, though. I do not understand the process, but for a couple of days, the beaches were peppered with what looked like regular houseflies, millions of them. Maybe it was the wind, or the weather, or just the season. Eventually, I did find a beach free of flies, and as I was frolicking, I was surprised to see a kayaker with full camping gear slowly padding along. He asked if the flies were everywhere.
"Just the shore," I said. "And they are clearing up," I added.
But boy, oh boy, I can't tell you how amazed I was that someone chose not to drag their gear through trails and beaches and instead took a kayak out, packed it with gear, and went off scouting for a neat beach from the Lake Michigan side. My third shriek was actually filled with real fright. There was no making sense of it, and what I started doing was just listening to whether or not it was getting closer. I was camping in a secluded spot, so maybe if I didn't move a muscle, the freaking whatever would not notice that I was there. Earlier in the day, I saw a bunch of people assembling for what looked like a night of drinking. But this was way after midnight, and the sound was coming from nearly the opposite direction. At first, I thought maybe it was a fox, but it sounded like it was yelling an actual name. So in the seconds that I was abruptly awakened at what seemed like 2:30 a.m., still tired from a day of hiking, I assumed it was a common variety monster, witch, demon, out for a snack. I lay there listening to the scream for what seemed like 15 freaking minutes, until finally I heard a man's voice and figured she will be fed for the night and piped down. I actually figured it was one of the campers who foolishly went for a 5-mile walk after midnight to get more booze, and whatever landmarks she tried to remember at night failed her. And not just because things looked different on the way back, but that there were 2 woodland coves, and she needed to walk a bit further to get back to the camp. But let me tell you something, she did not sound like a lady to me. It was not a voice asking for help. It was a series of cruel, brutal, angry screams. And though I am a proper gentleman, I would not go down there while she kept screaming like that. I was just too scared. Let me tell you, the beach did not need 2 screaming idiots that night. There's one more event that gave me great pause at Nordhaus. After a few weeks of camping, I returned to the camper zone to clean up and went over to their announcement area where they pin various rules and obligations. I brainlessly scanned most of it, and as I turned away from it, I did a double take, because right in the middle of the darn board was a sign announcing,
This is bear country.
Well, I had no idea. I thought it was just pouncing snakes, wise raccoons, tame deer, cheerful seagulls, and an ancient porcupine. Now, I was left wondering how many times was I stalked by a damn dirty grizzly bear. I think this was actually the time of the most interesting thing that happened to me at Nordhaus, though I didn't shriek this time. I don't want to pass this chance to retell the event, as it is one of the most precious things in my memories. There was a couple of loud ladies in a camper on the other side of the camp area. They were lovely, but they would play their radio and make noises and laugh a little bit too loud. I personally loved it. I appreciated it. I was glad that they were there, because they reminded me of Thelma and Louise, the happy ending. And on the day of my departure, after many weeks at Wilderness, and I was ready to go, as I was scribbling in my journal my final thoughts, I once again heard their camper door slam open, and then the cackle of seriously cheerful ladies. As far as I could tell, the woman was working on the breakfast fire, by means of what sounded like smashing thick tree stumps together in order to crack them open. It sounded like a hell of a workout, let me tell you, and she was at it for a goody long while. Once the wooden installation took shape in her fire ring, she bent over the final time and fired the most powerful series of shots I have ever heard right out of her butt. It was a sound to behold, and it echoed around the camp like nothing else. It silenced all the birds in the area, too. Frankly, up until that moment, in my sheltered existence, I wasn't even sure if ladies could do such things. I squinted to perhaps see if she didn't collapse from the strain, and instead, I saw her cheerfully steady herself, take a deep breath of fresh air, and yell out with a southern accent and a sleazy overtone, "Pull my finger!" And then she skedaddled, her hair now a mess, back into her camper, where she surely needed to change and lay down. And now I realize her friend probably reminded her that everyone just heard what she did. And we all did. Lots of people paused their morning chores for a time, and some still looked towards her camper long after the birds started chirping again.